Hey guys, my name is Amy Coonan, and I am a millennial on a mission to eat, clean, cook, dress, and live more sustainably. It's because of that I'm also the host of The Town Hall, Rubicon's first and only podcast where we share sustainability stories from the industry's influencers and the biggest brands. Jam-packed with tips, tricks, and need-to-know info for those that want to do better for the planet but may not know where to start. We are covering it all. Last year, we spoke to some incredible people who are doing some incredible things for our planet. The executive director of the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation, the CEO of Seven Generation Cleaning Products, and one of the brains behind environmental sustainability in the NBA. This season, we're kicking it up a notch. Don't forget to download and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or iHeartRadio so that you don't miss a minute. And if you can't catch us on your commute or you don't download directly, don't stress. You can check out our website at rubiconglobal.com/townhallpodcast for recaps, reviews, and all things Town Hall. Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Town Hall. Today, I am joined by Ocean Robbins. He's the author of The 31-Day Food Revolution. He's a food waste expert, a sustainable grub guru, among many, many other things. And I'll let him tell y'all all about that. Ocean, thank you so much for hopping on with me today.
Well, I'm so glad to be with you, Amy. Thank you for the invitation.
Of course. So let's start easy, and probably a question you get a lot with a very unique name like Ocean. You must have had quite a unique upbringing. Walk me through your life, basically, your childhood and everything, and how you think that sparked your passion for sustainability.
Okay, well, going back a couple generations, my grandpa founded an ice cream company, Baskin-Robbins, and my dad, John, grew up with an ice cream cone-shaped swimming pool in the backyard and 31 flavors of ice cream in the freezer. He was groomed to one day join in running the family company, but when he was in his early 20s, he was offered that chance, and he said no. And he walked away from a path that was practically paved with gold and ice cream to follow his own rocky road. He ended up moving with my mom to a little island off the coast of Canada where they built a one-room log cabin, grew most of their own food, practiced yoga and meditation for several hours a day, and named their kid Ocean. And the story has it that they almost named me Kale.
So I've got to tell you,
Amy,
better.
For the sake of my future social life, I'm really glad that they took the more conservative route when they named their son. But we did eat a lot of kale and cabbage and broccoli and carrots and onions and other veggies from the garden. As I got a little older, we moved to California. My dad researched the food industry in which he'd grown up, wound up becoming a best-selling author, writing about food and health, and inspiring millions of people to look at food as a chance to make a difference in the world. He wrote a book called Diet for a New America that became an international bestseller. One of his readers ended up being my grandpa, Irvin Robbins, who came to credit my dad's work with saving his life. As my grandpa read my dad's books and wound up giving up processed foods and sugar and even ice cream and giving up most animal products and saying yes to a whole lot more whole plant foods, he reversed diabetes, he reversed heart disease, and he added 19 healthy years to his life when his doctors thought he was on death's door. So we've seen in our family that when we follow the standard American diet, we get the standard American diseases, but we've also seen what can happen when we make a change. So I was inspired by my dad's example and, quite frankly, by my grandpa's courage to make such big changes, and wound up for 20 years directing a global nonprofit that I founded when I was a teenager, working with young leaders, helping them in 65 countries to make the world a better place. And as I traveled the globe, I saw that everybody eats and that what we eat is having this massive impact. And I saw how KFC, McDonald's, and Baskin-Robbins were spreading. I saw how Monsanto, Bayer, and agrochemical companies were spreading, and I saw how with pesticides and factory farms and processed foods, waistlines were filling up and hospitals were expanding and people were getting sick. And I said, you know what? Got to focus on food.
Yeah.
So in 2012, I moved on from the nonprofit and launched Food Revolution Network, which I've been directing with my dad for the last 7 years. And our goal is healthy, ethical, sustainable food for all. And I wrote 31-Day Food Revolution to really take this message and share it with everybody so that any day of the week, any place you are in your life, whether you're healthy and fit and trim or have some extra pounds around the middle or are really struggling with serious diagnosis, you can take steps to become healthier and to contribute to a healthier world, starting with the food on your plate.
So that leads me perfectly into my next question. I mean, you call the organization the Food Revolution Network. What exactly do you mean by a revolution?
Well, we live in a culture where it's become normal to eat food that's packed with added sugars. The average American eats 57 pounds of added sugars per year. To eat food that's full of hormones, antibiotics, chemicals. There's 1,400 chemicals in our food supply. Most of them have never been tested for their long-term impact on human health. And we live in a context where if you want to eat real healthy food, you've got to step outside the box. You've got to do something different. I say revolutionary. And I'm not calling for food that's a little bit less toxic. I'm not just saying, oh, let's, you know, have McDonald's put a little bit less trans fats in their French fries. I'm saying we need a fundamental revolution so that food becomes a source of health and vitality for us. I mean, less than 5% of the U.S. population gets the recommended amount of fiber. The average American gets 34% of calories from factory-farmed animal products, and about 60% of calories are coming from processed foods. We're getting 6% of calories from fruits, vegetables, you know, nuts and seeds, the things we should be eating more of. And so I think it's time for a fundamental shift so that food becomes a means to the health and the vitality we want. And, you know, a lot of people are concerned that they're going to give up pleasure because for a lot of us, food is delicious and it's pleasurable and people don't want to lose that. And here's what I say to that. I say, there's not a lot of pleasure in cancer, right, or chemotherapy. There's not a lot of pleasure in forgetting the names of your loved ones because you have Alzheimer's. There's not a lot of pleasure in feeling like crap every day so that the only pleasure in your life is on your taste buds because your body is sick. And the reality is that's what most of us have come to accept as normal. And I say in the long run, there is way more pleasure, way more satisfaction in healthy food than there is in junk food. And that's why the 31 steps to health that I promote in 31 Day Food Revolution are all about giving you more pleasure, even frankly, than 31 flavors of ice cream.
I know. I was thinking to myself that the 31 was a nice tie-in for sure. And I think a lot like, you know, diets, sustainable action stuff, you know, it's the small behavioral changes that'll lead to big results. I talk about that all the time on here. But what do you think sets your plan apart? Like what makes, you know, the 31 Day Food Revolution different from all of the other health and diet books out there? Because there are so many to choose from now, almost as many diet books to choose from as there are unhealthy options.
Yes, it is true. There are tens of thousands of new books about food and health published every single year, millions of blog articles. How can you even know what's up and down and what's right and wrong? And most of these seem to be attached to somebody trying to sell something, right? So there are a few things that set 31 Day Food Revolution apart. One is that it's all based in facts. There are more than 600 endnotes linking to, you know, studies, most of them from peer-reviewed scientific journals that give this a complete basis in fact. I'm much more interested in science than I am in ideology. Number two, it's full of stories from my life and from our hundreds of thousands of Food Revolution Network members. Because if it isn't entertaining, if it's not interesting, then what's the point, right? And then number three is that it's all rooted in action. There are 31 chapters. Each chapter ends with simple steps you can take to apply what you're learning in your life. So this will be a wonderful step for you to help get results. The reality is cancer, heart disease, dementia, they don't care a heck of a lot how many books you read, how many podcasts you listen to, how many articles you read, how much you know, but they do care what you eat and how you live. And so the goal here is to help you put healthy eating into action so you can get results in your life. And the other piece that's unique here is that there are four parts to 31 Day Food Revolution. Part one is detoxify. That's where we look at how to get rid of the bad stuff. Part two is nourish. That's where we look at how you can say yes to the really healthy foods that have been proven to fight cancer, to boost health, to promote healthy brain function, to fight cardiovascular disease, to help you feel better. And then part three is gather. And that's where we look at the social side of food. You know, we're not just lone wolves. Food is a source of connection and communion, and it can actually be an antidote to the loneliness that is so epidemic in our times. It can be an opportunity to claim the healthy, loving, vibrant community that really will help you to thrive. And then part four is transform. And that's where we look at how you can be an agent of change on the planet, how you can use food to cast a vote for a healthier world, a more ethical world, a more beautiful world for future generations. And the spoiler alert here is that it's a whole lot easier to change the world than you probably ever imagined.
I love that. And that's exactly what we're, you know, trying to do, being on a mission to end waste and kind of, you know, highlighting different influencers and big brands to talk about all sorts of different ways that we can make changes. And I do want to continue to talk a little bit more about the book, because as a marketer, I love some good clickbait. I mean, I love those jaw-dropping statistics and crazy headlines, and I love a good shock value. So when you were writing the book, what are some of the most groundbreaking, earth-shattering discoveries that you made about the way that Americans currently consume food? Was there anything that just really shocked you?
There were a lot of things that shocked me. I mean, you know, actually, we hear a lot about the bad news. You know, 70% of our population is overweight or obese. You know, a third of our kids are expected to get diabetes in their lifetime. Food allergy rates amongst kids have tripled in the last generation, for, you know, talking hospitalizations here for food allergies. So something's wrong, you know, and it's pervasive. But I was also shocked by the good news, by how much better things can be with a change. For example, did you know that there was a study done by researchers at Rush University out of Chicago? They found that when people ate 1 to 2 servings of greens per day, they added 11 more years of healthy brain function. The average likelihood of any potential onset of Alzheimer's was pushed back by 11 years. Another study found that women who drank green tea daily, 1 to 2 cups, had a 50% drop in risk of breast cancer. Women who ate mushrooms, an average of 1/3 of an ounce of mushrooms per day — regular old button mushrooms were fine, by the way — had a 64% drop in risk of breast cancer. When women ate mushrooms and drank green tea daily, they had an 89% drop in risk of breast cancer. So when you think about these numbers, and when you think about the fact that it's been thoroughly documented, we can prevent or reverse 80% of cases of heart disease, if not more, just with healthy food, it's stunning and it's powerful. And so we realize food is medicine, and food really can heal. And just the same principles that mean that a toxic food culture is killing us also mean that a healthy food culture can save us.
That makes total sense to me. And isn't it true also that, like, it's not just the ingredients that you're cooking with, but it's the way that you cook, even the cookware? Do you have some pretty crazy discoveries about the way that we're preparing our food and what we're preparing it in?
Yes, absolutely. You know, what's alarming is that a lot of our nonstick cookware actually emits toxins when it's heated. Now, don't we kind of cook with our cookware on high temperatures?
Yeah.
We do, right? So studies have found that most Americans, when they're using nonstick pans, go beyond the level of temperature that's recommended by the manufacturer. Some of these products literally come with warnings that if you have a bird in the house, make sure to open the windows, because it could be lethal to birds to cook with these pans. And so Teflon and some of the other nonstick materials that are widely used, they emit toxic gases that can be lethal to birds. Now, you may have heard of the canary in the coal mine. When toxic gases build up, canaries die first. Well, it doesn't take a coal miner to realize that if something's bad for birds, it's probably bad for you and me too. And one of the things I did was we got rid of all the nonstick pans and we replaced them with newer versions that are safer and healthier, specifically enamel-coated cast iron. And then also Ozeri makes a green earth pan that's made from essentially a ceramic material coating. And it's earth-based and it's much safer. But a lot of the conventional stuff that we see on the market today is downright dangerous. And another fascinating discovery was water, and another one was plastic. So with water, did you know that most of our water is polluted, not only with chlorine, which is fairly well known, but with all sorts of other toxins that have snuck into our water supply? So it really makes sense to have a home water filter. You know, you don't want to be stuck on bottled water, because that comes in plastic,
right,
which is bad for the planet. And guess what? It's bad for your health, too. But you can have a water filter and then you can treat it right at the tap, which is really the best way to go, because municipalities have a very hard time delivering water through large pipe systems and keeping it safe without the use of chemicals that may kill bad bacteria, but they all in your body. So a filter can help keep you safe right at the source. And drinking lots of water is wonderful. Water is your friend, but make sure it's safe and good and healthy water. So those are a few of the tips that we look at in Detoxify, which is part one of 31 Day Food Revolution. And then I mentioned plastic briefly, right. But there is an overwhelming body of research showing us that plastics are not where you want to be storing your food. When you put food in plastic containers, plastic bags, there are bisphenol A, BPA, it's a chemical that leaches into the food. Some BPA-free plastics may be a slight improvement, but studies show that they also use chemicals that can end up in your food and in your body that are linked to endocrine disruption, higher rates of cancer, Hodgkin's disease, whole host of problems, even heart disease, even type 2 diabetes and obesity, shockingly enough, because they can mess with your hormonal balance. So this is a place where you don't want to mess around. So we went ahead and cleared away all the plastic food storage containers in our kitchen. We got glass ones with plastic snap-on lids. I don't mind a little plastic on top. It's not directly touching the food. And then I use, you know, stainless steel with a snap-on lid with a silicone gasket for when I'm on the go and I want something that's sealable. I get into all this in the book, but the bottom line is you want to clean out your home and set yourself up for success so you're not taking toxins into your body every day.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I was little, my dad always used to tell me, like, in order to fix a problem, we'd need to acknowledge it. And those are some really unique solutions. And one of the problems going on, and I know that you've written about it, and obviously we talk about it being on a mission to end waste, is acknowledging the problem of food waste and unsustainable food practices. So how do you think that this, you know, human behavior affects our environment, our quality of life, even our economy? And more importantly, like, what are some, like you were saying, some easy enough behaviors people can do to reverse some of the damage? We know what we can do to get rid of some of the toxins in the plastic, but how can we work on our waste reduction?
Yeah, the average American family wastes $2,000 every year on food that literally just goes bad in the fridge. I mean, that's real money we're wasting, right? And as a society, we waste almost half of the food we grow in the United States. Worldwide, it's more like a third. This is really unconscionable in a world with people going hungry, and we can do a lot to turn it around. So, I mean, there are local, you know, grocers that are doing things like selling, you know, ugly fruit and ugly vegetables and sometimes for a discount. We could definitely do more of that. You know, the notion that we want everything to look picture perfect, like some kind of a model in a magazine ad, is cruel, I think, to humans. And it's also cruel to those of us who want a healthy food supply for future generations because, you know, vegetables grow in all sorts of shapes. And they taste just as good, by the way, when they're knobby or, you know, too skinny or too thick, you know, for what we normally think of as perfect. But we can also clear out the fridge regularly, shop from a list. Impulse purchases tend to be where the downfall of the consumer. They tend to be foods we don't really want. They tend to be the least healthy foods. And they tend to have us getting stuff we don't really need and not getting the stuff we actually need. So a lot of us spend about half our food dollars on impulse purchases. And when we can narrow that down to get what we actually want and need, when you plan ahead, when you shop from a list, when you cook in quantity, when you clear out the fridge, make a big soup on the weekend with all the leftover veggies you didn't use up during the week. These are tricks and tips that can really save money and time and energy. And freezing food is also a nice resource because that freezer is really there for a reason. It will preserve things much, much longer. And so we love to make, you know, big soups and then freeze containers, casseroles, freeze containers so they're ready to go to thaw and eat anytime we want to. Cooking in quantity is really helpful. And the nice thing about cooking in bulk is you can also share with some loved ones. If you've got extra soup or food of some kind that you may not get to, bring it over to the neighbors. Bring it to someone at work who might like that kind of food. Share the wealth and they can return the favor. So there are a lot of specific suggestions in 31 Day Food Revolution for how to take a bite out of food waste, build your social life, and enjoy more healthy food, save time, and save money all at the same time. And by the way, speaking of money, because this is a big challenge for a lot of people, it feels like Whole Foods are going to take your whole paycheck. Right. You know, I grew up in a little island in the middle of the woods to a family that was living very, very simply. And I discovered that you can eat really well on very little money. And those are a lot of the tips I want to share in 31 Day Food Revolution, how you can really save serious money. Of course, cutting out food waste is one way. And then also enjoying the really wholesome staples that you can base your diet around, you know, legumes and whole grains and vegetables like cabbage and carrots and onions and button mushrooms. You don't need $30 a pound Himalayan goji berries to be healthy. You can thrive fabulously on the real superfoods, which are super precisely because they help the most people to get the most benefit from their healthy lives.
No, I love that, because obviously one of the themes in the book is how to, you know, eat healthy on a budget and organic food. You know, like you said, those goji berries, they cost a lot. And so we're a show geared towards millennials, and we're all budget conscious, as, you know, I'm sitting in this awkward growth stage of life. So like, that really spoke to me, because I think there's a preconceived notion that organic healthy food has to cost X amount of dollars for it to do X amount of results. And that's just not the case.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah,
I have a couple more thoughts. You know, I think that you're a very interesting person. And
thank you.
You have like a crazy story and a crazy background, and, you know, you're changing lives every day. And I wanted to play a little game for our listeners just to get to know you better. It's a fan favorite. It's called Rapid
Sure.
Fire. It's awesome. So I'm going to ask you 10 questions and just say whatever comes to your mind. You ready?
Sure.
So I did some research. This is number one. And Paul McCartney actually reviewed your book. So my question is, what's your favorite Beatles song?
Oh, Let It Be.
What is the first thing you do when you get up in the morning?
Snuggle with my wife, and then first words are often prayer.
What are you reading right now?
Oh, I've been reading 31 Day Food Revolution. I want to stay up to speed on everything I wrote so I can tell people about it.
Fair. If you could trade lives with anybody for a day, who would it be?
I would love to be trade lives with my son, Bodhi, for a day. He's 18. I would just love to see what the world looks like through his eyes.
Whether you eat it or not, you knew this question was coming. What's your favorite Baskin-Robbins ice cream flavor?
I'm partial to Jamocha almond fudge. My dad invented it. I love the mix of chocolate and, you know, a little coffee. Those are both health foods. But I'll be honest with you, I don't really eat ice cream. I eat homemade frozen desserts, which Baskin-Robbins doesn't make, but they're pretty awesome.
What is one tangible item that you could not live without?
Oh, my bike. I have an electric assist bike, and I ride it everywhere that I can locally, and it keeps me in shape, and it keeps me having fun, and it makes travel an adventure.
If you could play any professional sport, what would you play and why?
Probably ultimate frisbee. I love ultimate frisbee. I love diving and catching. I love the team spirit of it. And I love that no one gets hurt unless, I mean, there's injuries, but no one's like, you know, it's not violent.
No. What is one eco-friendly action that you take every day without fail?
I plug in my plug-in hybrid car as well.
That's a good one. Normally we just get recycling. That's a good one. What does success mean to you?
It's interesting. I was on the Today Show recently, and the host asked me, you know, how are you going to, we're talking about my grandpa, and he said, I had made a healthy non-dairy frozen dessert, and he said, how are you going to make billions of dollars selling that? And I said to him, I said, I might not make billions selling it, but my goal is to help billions of people be healthy.
I love that. And for those of our listeners who want to take step forwards and take actions based on, you know, the message that your book is centered around, what is like one thing that I can do as soon as I close my laptop after this interview? What's one thing I can do just to start?
You could find a recipe for something healthy that you could enjoy, or you could, option B, go ahead and put some healthy stuff on your shopping list. And if you don't have a shopping list, then get one started.
Yeah, I'm going to do both of those things. I do need to.
So that you can plan and build into your life how you're going to add some more healthy foods.
I think that that's obviously a very smart place to start, and especially because I need to go to the grocery store, and you just reminded me of that. So for every new copy of your book that's sold, you have pledged to donate some money to Trees for the Future. So explain Trees for the Future. I know that they plant organic fruit or nut trees in low-income areas. What inspired you to take that step and to partner with them?
Well, I think that one of the real tragedies of our times is how often healthy food becomes kind of an elitist luxury, when I think that, you know, that everybody deserves healthy food regardless of how much money they have or what color their skin is. And Trees for the Future is planting organic fruit and nut trees in low-income communities around the world. And what inspired me was to want to support them in doing that. So for every new copy of 31 Day Food Revolution sold, we fund the planting of an organic fruit or nut tree in a low-income community.
I love that. Ocean, where can everyone learn more about you, learn more about your story, about the book? You know, this is a premier plug time right here.
Okay, grab a copy of 31 Day Food Revolution if you want to put this food revolution into action in your life so you can get results for your health and for your world. It's simple, it's accessible, it's a pleasure to read, it's thoroughly documented, and it works. The response so far has been incredible. It's already a national bestseller, and I wrote it for you. So here it is, 31 Day Food Revolution. You can grab a copy at your local bookstore, from your online retailer, or go to 31dayfoodrevolution.com. Again, that's the number 31dayfoodrevolution.com. You can buy a copy there, or if you buy it elsewhere, you can go ahead and register there to claim a bunch of fabulous bonuses that come with every purchase.
Ocean, thank you so much for being here, for spending time with us. I mean, to be honest with you, I have been truly moved by this experience, and I know that our audience will be as well. So thank you so much.
Fabulous. Thank you so much.